And then the darn thing insisted on keeping on breathing, keeping on moving. Communication lines, still to it. He had to stand by with it. He had to take care of it. The next thing you know, you got a hypochondriac on your hands. Oh, this fellow's so worried about the body. It's got a little ache or it's got a little pain, and he has to do something about it this way. Why? Well, he said, don't survive. He said, destroy, and it said, survive. And he said, destroy, and it said, survive. And he said, destroy, destroy, destroy. And it said, survive. So he says, all right, it can survive. Now let's see, what do I do to make it survive? Well, I got to make it survive. I got to make it survive. Gee, you know, I've got to make it survive. The next doggone thing you know, here you got this guy going around, he cuts his finger and he says, ooh, I've injured my body, I cut my finger. And he develops a slight quiver of his left ear, and he says, oh dear, I wonder what this horrible symptom is, and so forth. And back of all this, we find what? He tried to destroy it, and it persisted. You start to audit this case, and you'll find him talking to you, what we might state colloquially is he's tried to drop the mock-up. He'll talk to you about dropping the mock-up. If I could just get out of here, I'd leave. You just start auditing him a little while, and he gets up tone scale a little bit, and this early ambition comes back. Knock it off. Knock the body off. Get out of here. And every once in a while, some professional auditor says to somebody who was quite ill, particularly somebody who's quite ill, and he says, be 3 feet back of your head, and the body dies the next day. Just like that. Bing. You gave the freak clear chance to carry out his own basic goals. They don't do it very often, fortunately, but it happens every once in a while. Usually it's some incurable illness or something of the sort. And it's not up to you, you know, to make that body survive. This person's got cancer. They probably live for another 6 months, and it'd get worse and worse and worse, and they'd smell worse and worse and worse, and it'd cost the family more and more and more money, and they recognize there's no reason to keep this mock-up running, and you say, be 3 feet back of your head, and pop, bang. And they say, oh, yes, well, thank you so much for a good session. I feel fine. And then the husband is on the phone the next morning saying, you killed my wife. I didn't do anything to her. Yes, you did, because she's dead this morning. What did you have to do with it? You did the rather knightly deed of saying, madam, this broad highway is the road out. Husband is illogically insisting on keeping a body ticking over in agony at vast expense for many months. Euthanasia is frowned upon. Mercy killings are not the thing of today. Works a great hardship on the society, by the way, because it continues to give them psychiatrists. The psychiatrist uses electric shock and the prefrontal lobotomy, and this is true, you know, only because he is not permitted to totally kill the patient. And he can't kill this insane person, but he can render this insane person as good as dead with an electric shock over the prefrontal lobotomy, so he does. He can't come any closer to it. He is actually quite well aware of what he's doing, and actually the family around such a person is quite often quite well aware of what he's doing. And therefore, you don't get a society objecting to it too madly. It's murder. I haven't just now said, by the way, I caution you, I have not just now, this moment, said that all psychiatrists are murderers. I haven't said that they all have a compulsive impulse to murder all our patients. I want you to note that carefully. I have not said that. It's true, but I haven't said it. Now, where we get a Thetan in difficulty, we get a compulsive survival. And let's use that just as a technical term. That's a compulsive survival. So now let's be a very, very good auditor. And let's understand this principle of a compulsive survival. Whether it appertains to the body or anything else, on the part of the individual. Let's look at it for what it is, and let's solve it. There is a process which solves it. It's where would blank be safe? Where would the item which is being made to survive or is compulsively surviving, where is that item safe? Quite often you'll find this item with a stuck needle on the E-meter because it's a blank spot. The E-meter has to be looked over a little bit with a few more pre-clears than I have already run on this in order to give you the most optimum reaction. I find the needle sticks and sometimes it sweeps, but I'll have to codify it a little bit. It's no action or terrific action on the E-meter that you're looking for. There's some little evidence right now that the E-meter does its deep dives only in the presence of a vacuum and does its sticks only in the presence of a mass of unwieldy, unthinking energy. Some evidence to that degree. But you have a better test than an E-meter. You say to this fellow, "All right, now, where would shoes be safe?" He doesn't answer you for a half an hour. He's sitting there, wide awake, trying to answer you. He can't even think of shoes being safe. He just jams right on that point. And you just sit there and look at him. Ask him once in a while some little coaxing question to make sure he's still around. And he'll come out of the other end. Now, that essentially is the guts of a communication lag. What's a communication lag? It's one of these things, one of these compulsive survivals in the mental anatomy of your pre-clear. And he hits it, and he comm lags. You say, "Good morning." And he says, "Oh, hello." What happened? You said, "Good morning." He thought something, and it went through one of these compulsive lags. Well, unless his attention is actually and exactly called to it, the thing never runs out. It just gets worse. It doesn't get better. Why? It's just being added to. He's less and less looking at it, more and more dodging it. And so we have this as an interesting manifestation which leads us right straight through to the heart, soul, and center of aberration itself. Understand this. The key test of aberration is communication lag. You see that? The inability of the person to get two things connected easily and rationally and to disconnect them at will. To connect and disconnect at will. You could say this is, in essence, good communication. To connect and disconnect. All right, when an individual can't get something connected, the common statement of the society is that he's stupid. He doesn't get it. He just is unable to put his ignition key in the ignition of the car. He just can't get this direction. You keep telling him, "Well, to start the car, there's why do you keep running your battery down?" You start the car, you put the ignition key in the switch there and turn the switch. And don't just sit there and grind the battery, grind, 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 because you run your battery down. Fellow gets into the car the next morning, hits the button, grind, 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 grind. He hasn't put the key in the switch. Now, you'd say that fellow was awfully stupid, wouldn't you? And yet, essentially, that's merely a communication lag. He just can't register. He can't get this thing across the line. How long's the communication lag? Well, next year sometime, the longest lag I know of, by the way, that could actually be easily traced was 10 years. A fellow was told something, and 10 years later, recognized it. Well, this fellow sometime next year, well, all of a sudden it'll come to him suddenly and abruptly that he ought to put the key in the ignition, turn it, and that'll start the car. That's communication lag, all right? Now, you stop talking about something about an hour ago, and company is still there. That's communication lag. See? I mean, you stopped talking about, you said everything you had to say and heard everything you wanted to hear from then about an hour ago, and they're still talking. They're still sitting there. They're still
Can't disconnect. You start looking at this, you get frantic after a while. I've known more salesmen, for instance, to completely ruin a sale simply by keeping on selling after the sale was made. Well, all he's doing is running another type of communication lag, which is an inability to disconnect. Well, now the society calls this crazy, calls the inability to connect stupid, and the inability to disconnect crazy. What you combat? As noted, you're combating aberration, and you're combating stupidity. Now, on the part of the body, you're combating psychosomatic illness, an illness on the part of the body, the persistence of an illness. And all we've got here is, in each case, a persistence of some sort. There's a condition that goes on persisting in spite of anything that you or anybody else or the person himself can do about it. Now, it's up to you to do something about it. You're trying to handle a condition which has not been handled before, regardless of whether or not it is a twisted foot or a twisted brain or a fellow who could never learn to read. Regardless of what it is, it's a persisting condition, and that is the common denominator of everything anybody complains to you about, is the persistency of the condition, even the persistency of the intermittent condition. Every 5 days I get a headache. You see, it's the repetitive persistency of the condition which is upsetting. Every 21 years we have a war. You know, condition is repetitive, but that's a persisting condition. There is, sine wave persistence and intermittent persistence. But however it is, that's what you're in there supposed to do. You're not actually being asked to create anything new. You're just being asked to change the persistence curve of something. Either make it more persistent, such as some fellows wants you to audit his wife because she doesn't love him anymore. I suppose you could. That's really a job for a hypnotist, though. And you're supposed to, in other words, change a persisting condition. All right, what do we have as weapons for this? Well, our best weapons on it are SOP-8, SOP-8C, Advanced Group Procedure, and the class of processes which we are calling SOP-8D. Now, this SOP-8D is simply being worked out as an ability to discover the persistences, different classes of persistences. SOP-8D takes care of, just as itself, takes care of the persistence of personnel, universes of personnel, persistence of universes of personnel. SOP-8DA takes care of the persistence in terms of sex, sexual persistence. It's almost a Freudian process. And SOP-8DB takes care of the failed goals of the individual, which are yet persisting. It's a real neat one. There's no reason for me to go into opening procedure in step one and step two and step three, because these are just the D class. Now, why are they there? That's so that you, after you've run a fragment of this process, will remember to go back and start with opening procedure, step one, step two, step three, and back into the thing again or into the next one. In other words, let's always cross that bridge, because we want this guy exteriorized. That's why we keep crossing the bridge. All right. Now, goals is another E-meter job, if you want it to be, but it can simply be arrived at by looking at what the individual is doing in present time or just talking with him. You can talk with him and discover what his goals are. You can also discover who was mainly in the front of those goals. But in DB, we're not interested in who was in front of the goals. We're just interested in the goal. Now, you see how this little process here differs from a universe process. It works just like universe processing has worked, because it's heading right straight toward compulsive survival, but it's handling the goals of an individual which come under rather nebulous headings. You want to know what this individual's basic ambition in existence is, and that's one of the first questions you will ask him. What was his basic ambition? What were his ambitions in life? What were these ambitions? What was he trying to, and so forth? and probably his second or third answer will be the answer you want. I mean, it's that fast, you really don't need even knee meter. You ask this person, well, what did you want to be? He'll first tell you, well, I really, nothing. If he's having an awful bad time, well, nothing. Well, what are you being successful at now? Oh, the guy's just miserable. The second you ask him this question, he isn't being successful at anything now. Well, what would you like to be successful at, right? Well, why do you want me to audit you? Oh, well, if you audited me, you'd make... might get me in some kind of shape so I could write music again. You got it. That's the answer. That's the answer you want. What's the next thing that your lab will run into? If you've hit the compulsive survival that you want, you'll get your comm lag right now with this question. All right, where would music be safe? And if you've hit the compulsive survival right on the button, your preclear won't be talking for the next 15 minutes, half an hour. You just sit there kind of bogged. We're not interested in the long history of this. He won't give it to you. You just want a place where music would be safe. That's all. You find out he was a little kid. His mama and three aunts all taught piano. And they beat him and then kicked him around. And they booted him outdoors, and he couldn't stay around the house, and he couldn't touch those pianos, and he couldn't have anything to do with music, and his life was just hell because of music. So eventually, music won. Now, music has to survive. He may or may not have any talent at all for writing music, but you find out that when he got to be 18 or 19, he wrote several pieces for the high school band. And some latent talent showed up here and there, and he fooled around with music. He just fooled around with it, that's all. But he sure liked to make it his life's work. That's what he would have told you at 30, and here he is maybe 35, and he's lost his grip. He can't write music anymore. It's a totally idiotic picture, you see. Music is doing a compulsive survival in his life. He is doing his best to make that career fail. He's doing his best to make that career survive. And he's interlocked right there. Bing, bing. Compulsive survival. Deadly communication lag. Now, there are two denominators to this type of processing. One is a goal. It must have occupied the category of a major current life goal. Must have occupied that category. That's one that it has to have. Your current lifetime must be studded with this goal. And two, it must be something that he's had some success at. He must have been slightly successful with it. Now you dive into a case on that when your lab will unlock the case. What'll happen? The old laws of engrams are still in here. This individual got beaten around so much about something that he eventually got to a point where it won. In other words, he went into the winning valence of something. But he didn't go into the winning valence of a person. He went into the winning valence of a condition or a goal. See, he went into the winning valence of a goal. And it's just a different category of a winning valence. Now, you ask where that'll be safe, and you will get eventually the most hair-raising material out of that compulsive survival. Oh, golly, it seems like this happened and that happened and something or other happened all the way down the line on this. It just is the one thing that keeps turning him back and kicking him back and pushing him forward and being argued about. He's doing a defending of something. Well, you will eventually trace it back, you will think, to one person's universe, then maybe two people's universes, and maybe three people's universes, and you'll be very surprised, but you have suddenly disclosed something which didn't just spring up in this lifetime. This has been going on for a long time. If it was music, the fellow was once upon a time in one lifetime a successful composer, and he got poisoned. And another lifetime, why, he was a woman, he was married to a successful composer who ruined him, her. And there's lots of interweave here. And he just finally hung up dead center on this thing. He just can't move any further anyway. He can't think about it and so forth. Now, another condition that must answer here, it must be a communication lag. must demonstrate itself as a communication lag, and you must get a fairly rapid change of perception with regard to it. Case that gives you any trouble for any length of time, if you can't run just bing, 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 if you can't run D itself, separate out a couple of universes, and if you can't run a little bit of sex off the case, then bing, he exteriorizes. And he sure as hell will on this one. Because it's compulsive survival goal, and he has to have a body to make the goal good. And he's just going ahead, and it's, boy, is this the world of unreason. He's just ceased to be reasonable about it at all. He's identifying and cross-connecting and all mixed up. Now, those of you listening to this lecture may have the idea that you have compulsive survivals, which are giving you communication lags and which are impeding you. Of course, nothing I ever say should ever apply to an audience's individual case. And having told you about this, I'm quite well aware that, having told you without it being audited, that I am liable to just plow right straight on into the button, see? And there might be two or three amongst you who are simply sitting there looking at me now with in a dead blank. So let's just finish it off with a little group processing. Give me some places where you are not. All right? Now, give me some conditions you're not suffering from. We'll get one for sure that you know you're not suffering from. And let's spot some places in the physical universe space where your own condition does not exist at this moment. All right? Now, just for variation, give me some kinds of hats you're not wearing at this moment. Some kinds of animals now you're not being at this moment. Now, give me some fates you will not experience before the day is out. Get one for sure. Some horrible end you're not going to come to before the day is out. For instance, you're not going to be beheaded. Okay, now some things you could drink without being poisoned. Some friendly intercourse you could engage upon without ruining your reputation. Some things you could say now to another human being that wouldn't drive him crazy. Now, some things you could say that would not lead anybody to suspect that you're crazy. Some things you could wear that wouldn't tip off your actual condition. And now name some things that are not looking straight into you and through you at this moment. Now let's check over your body and see if you have all the necessary elements of a body. Okay, now let's look around you and see if you can find a nothingness that would be very pleasant to contemplate. Okay. Let's find the two back corners of the room. Now let's find two nothingnesses back there. And let's let go and find the floor beneath your feet. End of session.